The following audio is from the weekly message at Summit Church in the upstate of South Carolina. More information is available at summitupstate.org.
One of the things I love about corporate worship is being able to, in a really good way, be distracted by watching you worship. And there's days that I come into this room and I don't really feel like singing. And I watch you sing, and the Spirit does something in me. There's days I come into this room, and I don't necessarily in the moment feel the lyric, if you know what I mean. I don't know if in that moment I actually really believe that. And I watch you sing, and the Spirit in that moment does something within me. It's good when brothers and sisters dwell together. The Spirit of God is among us, and I'm thankful for the opportunity to worship with you. It's good to see new faces this morning. My name is Terry Carlton, and I serve as one of the pastors and elders on the team here at Summit. If you have a copy of God's Word, we're going to be in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 today. We typically teach through books of the Bible around Summit. In fact, we're in a series on the Gospel of Mark. But over the last, four weeks now, we're taking two Sundays this fall to hit pause on Mark and to talk about vision and mission, really mission and vision around Summit Church. Coming out of the summer, we as a leadership team decided that it would be beneficial to take two Sundays to really focus our attention on our target, our purpose. Who is Summit, and why does Summit exist? And one of the reasons is we have a lot of new people around Summit, which is really encouraging. It's an encouraging thing. Lots of new folks coming, and not just showing up on Sunday, but lots of new folks getting engaged and plugged in into the life of our ministry. The other encouraging thing is we have a lot of people who've been around Summit for a long time. That's an encouraging thing. And it's good to not only be informed, but it's also good to be reminded of who we are. And we bring those two things together for those of us who are newer and for those of us who have been around for a minute. If we can be on the same page, then we can run together in the same direction. And that's really the heartbeat behind taking a couple weeks. So if you missed Vision Message Part 1, we gave that back in September. I encourage you to go back and listen to that on the podcast. We talked about our mission statement, our core biblical convictions, our distinctives, and we zeroed in on this idea of spiritual formation, that if we're going to continue to be a church that thinks outside of ourselves for the sake of participating with God and what He's up to right here in Simpsonville, right here in Greenville, the upstate, and beyond, then our spiritual formation as disciples of Jesus must be of utmost importance. And one of the things that we talk about all the time is where we live and do life, that matters greatly. That what happens outside of this room, Monday through Saturday, what happens in our circles of accountability, our spheres of influence, it matters, but it's who we are becoming in those places that is eternally significant. And so this means that the formation of everyone who calls Summit home must be important to everyone at Summit. And that's a priority that's shaping and emphasizing everything that we've been doing from spring, summer, even fall ministry. One of the things the elders are currently praying about right now is January 2023. Our plan is to roll out a three-year spiritual formation scope and sequence for the entire Summit family. So as we've been talking about the significance of spiritual formation in the life of our people, we're going to roll out a 2 to 3 year scope and sequence of, if you've been around Summit for 2 weeks or from the very beginning, we want you to know, what does it look like to be formed in our faith and to come alongside others and to help them be formed in their faith as well? This priority of formation, it's tethered to Vision 2030. How many of you are around in 2018 when we put Vision 2030 before you? How many of you were around? Yeah, a lot of you. And so attached to that was what we're talking about. What we have been talking about is who we are becoming as the people of God. And really underneath this idea of spiritual formation is connected to what we're going to talk about this morning. So I want to give you the big idea, and then we're going to jump into 2 Corinthians 8 and unpack that a little bit. Here it is. As we participate with God in his mission of redemption, may we live generous lives motivated by God's generosity to us in the gospel. As we participate with God in his mission of redemption, may we live generous lives motivated by God's generosity to us in the gospel. Generosity cannot be separated from our spiritual formation. Cannot. Which means generosity cannot be separated from the mission of God through the local church. So I already know how things kind of work in the mind and heart when we hear that word generosity. So here's what I want to do. I want to tell you where we're going. I'm going to read 2 Corinthians 8, 1 through 15. And I think there are two pretty significant overarching ideas in this text. Now, we could drill down, but we're not going to drill down in all 15 verses. I'm going to give you two big ideas from the text, and then I'm going to raise two questions. If Summit Church is your home, if Summit Church is the place that you call home, two questions I want to pose to you. And then as we look at the generosity of God, we're going to sing. Like, that doesn't sound very threatening, does it? Two big ideas, 2 Corinthians 8, two questions, and then we're going to sing together in response to God's generosity. Does that sound good to you? All right. Let's read 2 Corinthians 8. I'll begin in verse 1. We want you to know, brothers, about the grace of God that has been given among the churches of Macedonia. For in a severe test of affliction, their abundance of joy and their extreme poverty have overflowed in a wealth of generosity on their part. For they gave according to their means, as I can testify, and beyond their means of their own accord, begging us earnestly for the favor of taking part in the relief of the saints. And this, not as we expected, but they gave themselves first to the Lord and then by the will of God to us. And accordingly, we urge Titus that as he had started, so he should complete among you this particular act of grace. Because you excel in everything, in faith, in speech, in knowledge, in earnestness, and in our love for you. So we want you to see also that you excel in this act of grace. You can see right here in verses, or specifically in verse 7, how this act of generosity is tied to formation, spiritual maturity, if you will. Verse 8, I say this not as a command, but to prove by the earnestness of others that your love is genuine. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich. And in this matter, I give my judgment. This benefits you, who a year ago started not only to do this work, but also to desire to do it. So now finish doing it as well, so that your readiness in desiring it may be matched by your completing it out of what you have. For if the readiness is there, it is acceptable according to what a person has, not according to what he does not have. For I do not mean that others should be eased and you burdened, but that as a matter of fairness, your abundance at the present time should supply their need. Should supply their need so that their abundance may supply your need, that there may be fairness. Sometimes talking is hard. Verse 15, as it is written, whoever gathered much had nothing left over, and whoever gathered little had no lack. This is God's word to us. The church, the people of God, down through the ages, if we trace history, if we look down the corridor of time, the church, the people of God, have always been marked by unexplainable generosity. And you go, well, why is that? Well, there's one idea in this text that I think actually points to that, and it's the first truth that I want you to see. Generosity is the gift of God to the world not ours. Generosity is the gift of God to the world, not ours. Generosity is the grace of God extended through the people of God for the mission of God. Verse 1 of our text, it begins by referencing the generosity of the Macedonian churches. This is what Paul says, the grace of God given among them. So it's God's gift, not theirs. And there's lots of ways I could capture this thought, but here's one of the ways I like to think about this. As a dad with three children, one of the things that really makes my heart swell is giving good gifts to my kids. I love just because gifts for my kiddos. I love paying attention to what they're into, and then as the Lord blesses me, being able to bless them with the things that they're into. I love that. But you know what I love more than just giving good gifts to my kids? You know what I love more than that? I love setting up my kids to bless others. Each Christmas in our household, one of the traditions we've started is I'll get Pat and Sadie and Mar, and we'll get in the car and we'll go typically to the mall to pick out a gift for their mom. Christmas gift, Christmas shopping. It's always interesting, slightly chaotic. And I tell them, I want you to choose something that you want to bless mom with. And here's the rule. You choose, you pick the gift, I pay. You choose the gift. You wrap the gift. You get the joy of seeing the joy on your mom's face. I pick up the tab. I'm going to make it happen for you. But in reality, I'm not the one making it happen, am I? I am, but I'm not. And so there's this notion of like being able to set up my kids for success, and they're, you know, trying to get on the same page about what they're going to pick out for mom that she would love. And I have to remind them along the way, listen, this isn't your money. I'm going to give you the benefit of giving it to her, from you to her, but we all know, like around the room here, like I'm providing the means. And one of the things I try to remind my kids when we go through that is, you know what? It's not even dad's money. It's not even me. Someone else was generous to me, so I could be generous to you, so the blessing of generosity could flow through you to mom. Well, that's 2 Corinthians 8. And that is the heart of generosity. Our generosity, Paul says, Jesus is going to say elsewhere, our generosity is an extension of God's grace, which means this, whatever our generosity may look like, God is the one who determines the impact, the reach, and the effect. It's God. That whoever is the recipient of our generosity, God is the one who determines the reach, the impact, and the effect. It's His work through us because it's His gift, not ours. Now let's think about, just really quickly, let's think about this in terms of our church, our mission as a church. It's not our efforts that advances the kingdom. That's God's grace. That's God's power. It's only God's activity through us that can cause hearts and lives to be changed. Like, I don't have that ability, nor you. And if you and I want to have an eternal impact, not only on the people within this room, but our circle, our community, our partnerships, it will never be anything less than the grace of God at work through you. That's what we see in our text this morning. This is what it says. The Macedonian churches were deeply destitute, incredibly poor, and yet they gave according to their means. And Paul says, as I can testify, they gave beyond their means. I think what Paul's doing here is he's drawing our attention to the power of God working through feeble hands. If our generosity is the grace of God, the gift of God, then God can do far more with it than we ever could. He took the willingness of a church who had very little material wealth, and in God-like fashion, he multiplied it. He multiplied it for the purpose of demonstrating his glory and to advance his kingdom. And if that's true, every single person can be generous, because our generosity is God's gracious gift. And God's grace, brothers and sisters, is never weak. It's never lacking. It's never insufficient. Your generosity, my generosity, our collective generosity will always have an eternal impact. Now, let me speak to this thought that may be within some of you this morning. Maybe you're here and you're thinking, man, I can't be generous. And you're tying your thought of generosity towards your material wealth. I want you to know that everything you give in obedience to the Lord will make an eternal impact for God's glory and the good of the church, because it's his gift to you that he wants to bless others through you. It's his gift. Here's the second idea from this text that I want you to see. If our generosity is a gift from God given through the local church, then our generosity is defined and fueled by loving sacrifice. It's defined by, fueled by, loving sacrifice. Do you notice in the text that generosity, or the example of generosity, is not tied to a dollar amount? In fact, if you look at other examples throughout Scripture, you'll see that generosity has nothing to do with the amount of wealth being given. It has everything to do with the costliness of the gift and the heart posture of the giver. It's not defined by the amount given, but rather the loving sacrifice necessary to give it. Now, here's why I say loving sacrifice. Because the word generosity, it literally means singleness or simplicity. So the idea of generosity is to be authentic in your giving. Let's think about how Jesus talks about this and sets it up. Jesus, at the end of his ministry, and he's in the temple, and he sees the rich putting their offering in the offering box. And he also sees a poor widow who puts in two small copper coins, about the equivalent of 75 cents. And you remember Jesus' words? He says this, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow contributed more than all of them." Why? "Because out of her poverty, she gave all that she had." She gave all that she had. There's another example. Jesus is going to feed 5,000. And he does so through the generosity of a family who gave what? All their food, all that they had. And so here, the Macedonian churches, they give despite their spiritual poverty. Poverty here is they were destitute, literally destitute. And I think it's fascinating. One of the most powerful paradoxes revealed in Scripture is that those who are often most generous are those who have the least amount to give, at least to the natural eye. Those that the world would deem incapable of being generous. Go, how is it that those with the least could be the ones who are deemed most generous? How is it that those with the least could be the ones who are deemed most generous? How is that possible? Generosity isn't defined by wealth. It's defined by loving sacrifice. And maybe you're going, how is loving sacrifice a compelling way to live? Well, he tells us in 2 Corinthians 8. He identifies the churches in Macedonia as having an abundance of joy while living in extreme poverty. Now, I want you to think about that statement for a moment. They have an abundance of joy while living in extreme poverty. So imagine for a moment where their treasure must have been in order for them to be filled with joy when they were virtually empty of earthly treasure. They didn't have material wealth. And so for you and I, it's really difficult to think about what it means to be maybe impoverished or destitute. And in America, Western culture, our typical mode of thinking about giving is in terms of overflow. Well, if I have enough left over, if I have enough to spare, or once I have enough and I am filled, then I can help others be filled also. That's the natural way of thinking, but it's not the way the scriptures talk about it. So in worldly terms, Paul says the churches in Macedonia didn't have enough spiritual wealth. And it leads me to think, and I think about this in my own heart, my own journey with generosity. There's always a good reason to my flesh. There's always a good reason in the natural terms of things, a good reason not to give. If I want to find an excuse not to be generous, I can find it. And we can wrap that up in so many things. I'm just planning for the future. Listen, there's always a nicer standard to try to hit, right? A nicer standard, way of life to meet. There's always more debt to get into so that I'll feel good about self-justification, not having enough to be generous. So here's the principle. If our wealth is the only driving force behind our generosity, we'll easily justify never being wealthy enough to be generous. Because what we do with a little is indicative of what we'll do with a lot. That's the biblical principle. What we do with a little is evidence of what we will do with a lot. As I look at 2 Corinthians 8 and 9, if anyone had any reason to be stingy, it was these churches, right? It was the churches in Macedonia. And yet Paul tells us they gave in an unexplainable, generous, and costly way. How did they do that? Because they gave out of the overflow. Overflow, Terry, I thought you said they were materially poor. I thought they were destitute. Yes. But the overflow they experienced was an abundance of something not defined by wealth. They had an abundance of joy. And that is the key to generosity. Generosity is fueled by joy. You and I can be generous through our loving sacrifice, whether it's finances, whether it's our time, whether it's our resources, whether it's our gifts, no matter what it is. And we can live the most fulfilling life when we have an abundance of joy, because an abundance of joy always leads to an overflow that we cannot contain. It's the counterintuitive nature of the gospel. When you have an abundance of joy, there is always an overflow. Can anybody testify this morning? Is that true? I know I'm talking about generosity, okay? Joy. Now, he's going to give the motivation, right? I want you to look at verse 9, because this is significant. What is the source of joy? Where does the abundance come from? Paul says, "For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, yet for your sake he became poor, so that you by his poverty might become rich." Joy is literally the awareness of grace. It's the recognition of grace. So that when you and I become aware of God's free gift extended to us, it produces joy within us. And as we seek to live a life marked by generosity, What we cannot forget that Paul brings to the forefront of our attention here is that we have and forever will be recipients of the most generous gift. The King of the world emptied himself and met you and I in our spiritual poverty to give the costly gift of his life. Why did he do that? Because we were destitute. And there was nothing that you or I could do to lift ourselves up out of our poverty and into the riches of new life. We couldn't pull ourselves up by our performance or our good deeds. We couldn't bring about the renewal we so desperately needed. And Paul says, hey, you want to know why they were overflowing with joy? Why they had more than enough overflowing with joy? Because God was rich in mercy and he loved us in such a costly way that we were made alive in Christ, raised with him, seated with him in the heavenly places. That is grace. That is the ultimate gift of God to the world. And that is our only true source of joy. Think about this. The grace of God supplies the abundance that you and I need to live lives marked by generosity. It's the grace of God. The grace of God produces the joy that leads to this wonderful paradox that says, you know what the good life is? The good life is a life of loving sacrifice. The good life is a life spent generously. The grace of God is our assurance that our joy will never be dictated by our circumstances or our measure of wealth. Let me say that one more time. The grace of God is our assurance that our joy will never be dictated by our circumstances or our measure of wealth. So, where does this meet us? What about Summit Church in this particular moment? As we participate with God in his mission of redemption, our prayer, our desire, our discipleship, our formation is that each one of us, individually, all of us collectively, will grow and mature in living generous lives motivated by one reality, God's generosity to us in the gospel. If we're not aware, we have some new realities post-pandemic, don't we? I mean, the last 2.5 years has affected all of us. Not one person has been left untouched by the last 2.5 years. No organization, no church. You add to that the last 2.5 years and the tension and the change and the effect. You add to that the political and cultural tensions that just don't seem to be dying down. Not to mention the world's perception of the church that continues to grow more antagonistic. And you couple all of that with this moment, and I think for us, what we want to just acknowledge is this is a moment for us as the people of God to not push away from the church. And what I mean by push away is not to diminish it, not to devalue it. Like, this notion of, like, just viewing the church and the relationships within the church as take it or leave it. Like, if I have time, I'll show up. That mantra. Do you know what's gotten exposed in the last 2.5 years? Cultural Christianity's gotten exposed. And you know what? That's a good thing. Like, selective Christianity, like, give me a little bit of this. I like Jesus over here, and I like Jesus this way, and I like Jesus this way. I'll take him this way. Like, just this idea of selective, this feels good, this feels comfortable, and then all of these things over here, we create fences, right? That's the natural tendency. In the last 2.5 years, man, that's gotten exposed. And this idea of, okay, who is the church? Specifically, who is Summit Church? And I want you to know, this is a moment not to push away. This is a moment not to devalue. This is a moment not to diminish. This is a moment to lean in. Why? Because we need the church. We need each other. This is a moment for us to be generous with our presence. I think it's a moment for us to go, how am I stewarding my time and my voice and my relationships for the good of what God wants to do through the church? So that's creating margin. That's showing up. That's building relationship. It's making time for one another, making time for people that, quite frankly, don't look like you, don't think like you, don't talk like you, don't wear the same kind of clothes and vacation at the same kinds of places, and that you would just naturally go, we don't really get along. Well, guess what? We need that in our life. This is a moment for us to lean in to one another. Because we need the generous grace of God poured out in our lives so we can in return pour out that gift, that grace, that truth to one another for the good and growth of the body. So here's my first question. And I'm talking specifically to those of you who call Summit home. You're a team member here. You're a regular attender. If outside of this place somebody asks, hey, where do you go? Where are you a part of? And you go Summit, then I'm talking to you. Here's my question. I think this is a moment for you to look at the generosity of God in the gospel and to ask yourself, am I generous with my presence for the sake of God's mission through this local church? And for all of you who are, thank you. Thank you. And if you're willing to take that step, come take it with us. By God's grace, take the step. There's some of you who've been hanging around the last 6-7 months, and I'm so super thankful for that. Come jump in with us. We are not a perfect church. But here's what I do believe. I believe we know who we are. And I believe the Spirit of God through the people of God, I believe He is at work among this body. Come lean in with us, grow with us, and be generous with your presence. Secondly, I think this is an opportunity for us to be generous with our resources. Here's what I know about the people of Summit. And what I know also to be true about the people within this particular congregation, so many of you give financially to the ministry of Summit through the lens of loving sacrifice. I'm so grateful for you. And I know the motivation. We just looked at the motivation this morning. I'm so grateful for that. But I also want to just take the opportunity as one of your pastors this morning and just give an honest assessment of where we are in this moment as a church. Again, lots of new individuals, lots of new families. We also have a nucleus of folks who've kind of been around Summit for some time and yet have taken 2 Corinthians 8:7 literally, which is you're excelling in many things in your formation in Christ, and yet you've yet to take the step of generosity through your resources to give to the mission of God through the church. And here's one of the things that we have learned over the last 2 years that we need to grow in as a church, as a congregation in particular. A meaningful and important area of growth for us is to grow in greater consistency in regards to regular sacrificial generosity. A meaningful and important area of growth for us is to grow in greater consistency within our congregation in regards to regular, consistent, sacrificial generosity. And listen, I understand the last 2.5 years. I know what it feels like to be in this moment. I'm with you in this moment. Recession, inflation, the impact of the last 2.5 years in particular. I know things change. I know there's cultural circumstances that happen to us that maybe reshapes the grid by which we give. And yet, what I want to remind us of is what motivates us. We've looked at two biblical truths from 2 Corinthians 8 this morning. Part of the reason we need to grow in this area is because the lack of inconsistency over the last 2 years has made it supremely challenging to keep our commitments to financial partners and ministries, not just a part of Summit, not just regionally and locally, but also nationally and globally. So one of the areas that I'm just putting before you as the people of God, as brothers and sisters who call this place home, is to go, we need to collectively grow in greater consistency in our giving. So I want to give you a financial update. Where are we as a church today? We are currently 20% behind budgeted giving for the year. 20%. And it's a pretty big number. 1/4 to go. And I share that number with you because 3 reasons. 1, I trust the Lord. The elders of Summit trust the Lord in this season. He has always taken care of us. It's not uncommon that we are behind budget going into the 4th quarter. That's not an uncommon thing. So I put it before you knowing God is in control and we trust Him. 2, we're in this together. And 3, it'll take all of us to meet that need. It'll take all of us. Do you know, money's a tricky thing in our culture. It's tricky. It's almost more acceptable to talk about the habits of your bedroom with less awkwardness and discomfort than it is to discuss the habits of your bank account. And that is just fascinating to me. I don't have any right or authority to stand up here and look at you and go, we have a need, just be generous. I don't have that right. But I do have the right to do this. I do have the right to tell you, look at the generosity of God in the gospel. And as you look at the generosity of God in the gospel, be filled with the abundance of joy that is rooted in who He is, and then respond in obedience to what He tells you to do. That's what I trust. That's the given mechanism that my wife and I seek to give of what God has put into our resources, what He's given to us to steward. Here's what I know. The more I see Him, the clearer I see His grace poured out on me, here's what happens to my money. It's not always easy. And I could stand up here for the next 20 minutes, and I'm not going to do that. I could give you story after story after story of how God has met me and my bride over the years when we didn't know how in the world we would make ends meet, not just paying a house payment, but putting food on the table if we were going to give that month. That's my ask of you. Second question, if Summit is home for you, If this is your place, then I want to ask you to look at the generosity of God in the gospel and to ask yourself, am I generous with my resources for the sake of God's mission through the local church? And if not, come take this step with us. Where do I start? Look at the generosity of God and then respond in obedience to what he tells you to do. I don't know what that looks like. Then come, we would love to talk to you about that. We would love to help give you some steps on where to start. I'm going to invite Brett and the team back up, and we're going to have, again, this is a moment. We're going to sing. We're going to sing and respond in worship to God's generosity to us in the gospel. But before we do, I want to tell you one specific way that we're asking each of you to pray. The first Sunday of November, we're going to give the people of Summit a clear idea and projection of our 2023 financial number. So we're going to give it to you early this year. And something the elders have been praying about the last 2.5 months. We're going to put before you what we believe a projected number to do ministry within Summit, 4 congregations, 1 church, 4 congregations within Summit, and all of our partnerships for the year 2023. And then we're going to ask every single team member and every single person who calls Summit home to prayerfully consider giving us anonymous feedback on what you are willing to commit and to invest in with us so that we can set an accurate budget for 2023. There's 2 reasons we would do that. Because we want to be wise with our stewardship. And we still want to, by God's grace, reach by faith and trust that God's going to do far more than we can even ask or think. So I want to begin to put that before you. You've got the next 4 Sundays to pray. Where am I in generosity with presence and generosity with resources? And if this is my place, these are my people, then I want to trust that part of my spiritual formation is also growing in this act of grace. And in November, we're going to put a number before you with some details on where that's going and what that looks like. And we're going to ask you to take 2 more weeks and pray and then commit a number to us in 2023. Would you stand with me? It's always an awkward message for me to talk about money. And I don't really know why. It's not that I'm afraid. The scriptures talk about it a whole lot. And Jesus does as well. I guess if I'm just being transparent, it's easy to get distracted when you talk about such a strong idol. And maybe that's the enemy. Jesus tells us again and again and again, if you want an MRI of your heart, then look at the way you handle your money. I believe when you and I see the grace of God poured out on us, when we have an awareness of his grace, it produces an abundance of joy that takes clenched fist with our finances and resources and our lives and our times, and it goes, I'm going to live with open hands, Lord, because I have everything I need in you. Let's pray together. Father, we love you because you first loved us. And my prayer for my own heart and the heart of the people in this room today is just that you, Spirit of God, would help them to see you. To see your kindness and see your grace. This recognition of grace cannot happen apart from the Spirit of God illuminating that to minds and hearts. And so that's what I want to happen, because I believe the motivation of the gospel is that when we see you clearly, God, you compel us to live with open hands. It's what we've been talking about. It's what we looked at last week from Mark's gospel. Jesus says, I want you to come and reorient your entire life around me. That you'll let go of it. And in letting go, you'll actually find it. So I'm excited and encouraged by what you are continuing to do through the men and women of Summit Church. But I believe there's far more that you want to do. I believe that there are significant things that maybe we don't even have presently the faith to pray for this church or this community or this region of the upstate. And I think that's linked to maybe we just don't yet see you clearly. So Spirit God, awaken our hearts, remove the scales from our eyes to see just how generous you are. To see how generous you are. What a Savior. God, as we sing, lift up our hearts. Lift up the eyes of faith to behold your goodness. Ask these things in Christ's name. Amen.
Thank you for joining for this week's message. Summit Upstate's mission is to give every man, woman, and child the repeated opportunities to see, hear, and respond to the gospel. We'd love to connect with you, so we invite you to reach out to us at summitupstate.org.